Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
So I'm going to read to you this morning from John chapter 5. And I touched on this message, this passage on a Friday night a couple of weeks ago, but I feel like on Sunday I need to bring it to you again because I keep feeling like the Lord is saying, right now I'm stirring my people. Right now I'm stirring my people. And I believe that God is stirring us, stirring you, and he wants to stir you. God is a stirrer. Can't say that in Australia. It sounds like, oh, you're such a stirrer. But God is a stirrer. God will come and stir the waters of your life at moments, certain times. And God is always doing that for your greater purpose, your greater blessing, but also that you would be a greater blessing to other people. Don't shrink your life back to you. You value yourself more because you are called to be a help and a blessing and an influence and a servant as well, servant of others, and help them also come into God's plan and purpose for their life. But I'm really stirred, supernatural stirrings, that God is stirring us and stirring you. And sometimes it's the little, still small voice. Sometimes it's a bigger voice. Sometimes it's through pain. God will stir you and speak to you. And sometimes it's through an annoying Christian who is, there's quite a few amens then, who is coming to your life and God is using them to stir you or provoke you in an area of our life that maybe we've got comfortable in, but that the Lord sees something bigger and something better for you. And he wants to stir you forward. So in John chapter 5, there's an incredible story, incredible miracle happening in God's word here. And it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the water when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." I'm really inspired when I read this passage by the fact that the scripture says here again, and it's throughout the scripture, when the man said, "For an angel comes down at a certain time." Bible will often say it, and it happened at a certain time or a certain season or at a certain moment or suddenly, the suddenlies of God. And the Bible tells us that the water would be stirred up and then the person who was the first in when that water got stirred supernaturally would be healed of whatever their infirmity was. Can I encourage you again? The Word of God is there to speak spiritual truth to us today. And that's an incredible miracle, and God is an incredible, miraculous God. But it's to speak truth to you and I, for us to understand that God comes to your life at certain moments. He comes at certain times. And God will suddenly be stirring your life unexpectedly. How many of us, we weren't Christians, never had an intention to become a Christian, mainly due to the fact that we didn't understand it. We didn't, we maybe had a religious experience like I did as a child, which made me be dismissive of God because I saw God as religious. I saw him as austere and cold. So I put God in a box. But God came to my life at a certain time and stirring the waters of my heart and the waters of my life in order to get me to a response. And then, as many of us here would have experienced, years later, we look back and go, how did I get here? Some of you right now, you are like, how did I get healed? You got a diagnosis that was so bad, but here you are sitting in church years later and still going and still living, and God is with you. Some of you, it looked like it was the end of your life. Didn't look like you'd ever get anywhere. You'd be a failure. You would not go forward in your life. But here you are moving forward and your life has changed. You once were broke, but now there's a turning around of that and you're beginning to prosper, or you have really prospered. There is others here, your family would not be together. You wouldn't have a family. But then God came and stirred the waters of your life and saved you. You responded to Him. You responded to Him. You responded to Him. And then suddenly you end up, you've got a family. You end up, your marriage is still together, or your marriage has come back together. By the way, everybody, can I encourage you, don't lock God up. Don't incarcerate God in your thinking, where you lock God up and say, God, you could not do that. You can't do that. That could not change. Everybody, we have to be so careful with what we put the brakes on with God. Because I met too many people over 40 years who, it was impossible, but then this happened. It was impossible, but then that happened. It's impossible, but then that happened. But a key, everybody, remember again, is the fact that we change our confession. Can I encourage you, be a person who is working to change your confession. By that, I mean you stop saying, well, this is always happening to us. It's always happened to me. And as you remember, one of our old relatives used to make me laugh because they would always say, it's always happening to us. And guess what? It always did. Everybody, change your confession. Start to say, well, that didn't work, that went wrong, that didn't happen, that failed, or I failed. But Lord, I believe as I follow you, Lord, that you can take what I give you, take my life, and you can turn it around and work it for my good. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Romans 8:28 says that. It says, everything works together for good. For good, your good. To those who love God and are called according to His purpose and purposes for your life. Everybody, when you're in the purpose, when you're walking after God's purpose, not your purpose, God's purpose, not your purpose, God's purpose, not your purpose. Sometimes we're frustrated for decades because we keep trying to get God in on our will. Lord, come in on my will. Lord, what's wrong with you? You know that I'm doing this. Lord, and He says, look, I'm not the Lord. I don't know why you keep saying that. The Lord is, Lord, what is your will? Lord, what is your will? Thank you, Lord, you put spiritual people around me who can help me with your will. Lord, what's your will? Help me to glean it, Lord, from your word. Help me to glean it from service. You glean God's will from service, everybody. I'm telling you right now, if you are not a servant in the house of God, out in the community, you have not got that on you, you cannot glean it. You'll be operating out of carnality. Carnality is your flesh. It's very interesting in church. Church life is so fascinating. Who thinks church life is fascinating? It's very fascinating. Who thinks who you meet is fascinating? So fascinating. It's so awesome. People are awesome, but God's people are awesome. But what's fascinating times, I'll meet people and they're highly discerning, and immediately something's happening. They go to the Word of God, immediately to the Word. And they're basing their next feelings and decisions on the Word of God. Then I meet other people who've been saved for 30 years, go to church, and immediately something happens and they get thrown. They go straight to their feelings, their friends' feelings, and Auntie Mary's feelings. They don't go to the Word. And yet they sit in church. Sometimes in the same row. Don't look up your row. Sometimes in the same row, but you've got one who's operating in the supernatural. They're operating in the Holy Spirit. They're operating in spiritual discernment. Their decisions are based on the Word of God. And they are seeing the fruit of that. They are getting understanding from that. Their discernment's growing, their insight's growing. And then somebody else, same row, 30 years in church, and they're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, that doesn't really matter. Because ultimately, it's what does he feel about that? And then what does he say about that? Do you understand what I'm saying? So here's the question, which are you? What do people know you by? Response in the carnality or response in supernatural living according to the word of God? How do people know you? Ask yourself the question and say, how do people see me there? Not to be putting yourself down, but to have an insight so that if you need to make a change, you can start to do it. So if you go and say, hey, if people came to me, would they come for counsel? What would I do? Well, that's how I feel. And that's how she feels. And that's how Auntie Mary, I don't know who Auntie Mary is, but I'm just using her. That's what she would say. Hang on. All of that is flesh. You need to go, hang on a minute, what does the Word of God say? And the whole scripture is always this, principles above personalities. All the time. How many Christians get that? Have to think about that. You see people, oh no, it's personalities. What Mary said, Auntie Mary. Oh, she said that. And they go, personalities above principles all the time. Hang on, that's the flesh. Flesh. It's the principles of God's word that God wants you to live by. And can I encourage some of you, God is trying to stir you right now to make a change. Because the moment that something's happening in your life, you run straight to emotion, how you feel. Oh, I feel like this. Oh, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. You cannot grow spiritually if you continue to build upon how you feel moment by moment. Because life is going to throw things at you. Did you know that? Life's going to throw things at you. But when life throws things at you, you can stand back and say, hang on a minute. Here's what the Bible says. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible says, then I want to just do my thing right now. And the Bible says, no, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, I don't want to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due course. He may exalt you in due course. God's trying to lift you up in your life. He's trying to lift you up as you serve the Lord. He's trying to raise you up in your calling in business. He's trying to lift you up, but God is saying, choose my word. What we do at certain moments is critical to what happens later in our life. What we do at certain moments is critical to where we end up later in life. And Sue and I had a lovely day with the family yesterday, lead up to St. Pat's Day. Now I've got our 4 grandchildren now, oh my gosh. But Sue and I was thinking back when we started out even serving the Lord, we were around the table by ourselves. And our parents were not around. And, and they had their own challenges happening. But Sue and I were kind of there. And then I thought, Lord, as we followed you, it's amazing how you've given us a family. And by the way, to everybody, God has given you a family. It's the family of God. So we need to all partake of the family of God. But then realize, hang on a minute, things that we thought, how would that ever happen? How did it happen? We applied the principles of God's word. The principles, not the feelings of, oh my gosh, look at our lives. Oh, what we haven't got. Oh, it's all right for them. It's all right for that person. No, we had to say, stop. Jesus loves us too. Jesus loves you too. And in fact, the scripture says God is no respecter of persons. God does not say, I choose you over you. He does say, I've appointed you, given people different gifts and callings, and that's your lane I've appointed you to. That's your lane. Be careful, everybody, judging other people's lanes. Be careful judging other people's lanes. Don't get into other people's lanes. You know, like, you ever been to the Olympics and seen a swimmer swim across the lanes? No, you haven't, I don't think. But in life, you're not meant to swim across lanes. You're meant to find out in God's economy, what's my lane in your house, Lord? And what in this season, in this moment of my life, and what's my lane outside? And then don't judge the lanes of others, because you don't often know the price somebody's paid to be in that lane. You don't know the cost somebody's paid to be in that lane. You don't know the price, the cost, the sacrifice somebody has done to have that life. But people get like, oh, I don't know them, and they're, yeah, you pay the cost. Pay the cost. If you want to be a church leader, pay the cost. You want to call the shots in the kingdom? Pay the cost. You want, hey, I want to be this, then get going on deep sacrifice and service for decades. Get ready for it. And then you can do that. But oftentimes people want to do something, but we don't want to match it with the cost. Let God stir you today to become a spiritual Christian, not a carnal one, a spiritual one, a discerning Christian. You're like, I'm making a change. I'm doing this by the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying in this situation? Lord, what's your wisdom? What's your insight, God, on this? In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. You know, God will stir us at times to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. He'll stir you to love. Who's ever been stirred to love? Who's ever been stirred to love when you wanting to be stirred to love? And God says, love anyway. He'll stir you to love. He'll stir you to forgive. He'll stir you to faith. God will say, come on. Right now, I'm stirring you to go by faith. And we're like, no, I don't want to do faith. I don't want to leave Montreal and go to Perth. It's too hard. Bay, hello. Well done. But many times, God will say, I'm stirring you now. And here's the thing, here's a thought, everybody. God doesn't stir you how you like. He stirs you how he likes. Yeah. I choose to heal who I want to heal. Who gets in the water first? Yeah. Lord. He's like, that's my choice. Yeah. Many of us are always trying to change what God wants to do. God says he's doing his choice, how he does it. I want to change you, Lord. We're trying to give God a makeover. Everybody, God doesn't need a makeover. We do. Makeover of heart, makeover of attitude, and say, Lord, help me to respond to your stirring, to faith, to humility, to service. God will stir you to service. Who's had that? Wow. God comes along and says, hey, I love you so much, and I got a great plan for you, but right now I need you to help there in my kingdom, and then I'm prepping you there for out there. I spoke last week on your greatest moment is right now, but your greatest moment is in the next big thing, which is usually with God, a small thing. Yeah. Lord, why is it that's happening for them, it's not happening for me? Why is there not the supernatural? Because the next big thing is the small thing. Yeah. And you're like, what small thing? Forgive them. Yeah. Oh. Oh, Lord. I said, I love you and I want to serve you. And God goes, I know. And he goes, but I'm going to give you a rich opportunity to learn to be like me. Forgive them. So God will stir us. And he's saying, hey, the next big thing is a little thing. The next big thing is a little thing. And your greatest moment is right now. And last week I talked about how David, if David didn't bring lunch for his brothers, he would not have ended up positioned to be when the giant came down and to go against Goliath and end up taking him out, becoming king over Israel, and then being in the line of Jesus and all of history and all of humanity impacted forever. But it started with Jesse, his father, saying, David, take lunch to your brothers. Yeah. He who can be faithful in the little will be faithful in much. Yeah. He who can be faithful in the little thing, the follow through, it's the follow through. People who follow through as Christians and what they say they'll do and what they tell God they'll do, oh gosh, they're diamonds. If you got a follow through Christian friend, they are a diamond. You got a follow through Christian leader who says, okay, I'm gonna do that, they're a diamond. And you better not say you're doing it until you mean it. And that's why when God stirred me about Tenacious House, for 4 years, and I told Dave Harding numerous times and prayed with him, I'm not ready to do that. In actual fact, I don't want to do that. And now, I'm so glad I did. But I got there, why? Because it was a level of bigness and sacrifice and etc. at a new level. would be required. And but when the time came, follow through. Follow through. Follow through. There's something about genuine desperation that will cause you to get in the pool. I found it interesting that when the Bible says that the man was sick for 38 years, obviously he'd been suffering, obviously he'd been there for a long time with his disease. And yet when Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" he interestingly came up with, "Look, every time I go to get in the water, while I'm coming, somebody else gets in front of me," and da da da. He starts giving Jesus lots of reasons why he couldn't get into the water. Now, I don't think Jesus is putting him down in any way, just so you know. He's not putting him down in any way, but it just seems that immediately Jesus says, "I'm coming to you. There's a miracle to be had." He started giving reasons why he couldn't get in the water. And it's that sense again of when God's calling us, or God's saying, "I want to do something," or where God's wanting to heal us, or God wants to break through in your personal walk with him, or God's calling you to more in the kingdom. And then we come out, "Well, Lord, you know, I would have, but this happened, and then that happened, and then there was no one there to help me either, Lord, no one at all." And we start going that route when that wasn't actually the question Jesus asked. Jesus didn't ask any of that. Jesus didn't ask about what happened, what's kept you out of the water. Jesus asked this question, and it's a question for all of us again today. He says, looking at the man who's been there 38 years, Jesus says, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to be made well?" And for all of us looking on, you're going, "Well, what a ridiculous question." No, not really. Jesus knows the right question to ask. Because that man's probably now making, you know, money as a beggar there. It's probably his source of income. It would be, he would have relationships within all of the broken group of people there at that time. So Jesus does not assume that he really wants to change and goes, "I'm going to just heal you anyway." Jesus says, "What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to be made well?" Everybody, Jesus is saying to you, "Do you want to be made well?" And well is in right relationship with him. Well is up and walking in his purpose and plan. Well is your emotions and spirit and heart and mind being healed and changed and restored by the word of God and by his Holy Spirit. So Jesus asks us the question, "Do you want to be made well?" Because you can go to church and not want to be made well. And we know around the world, Christians go to church every week and there's no change. They are like God, they changeth not. But that's in a negative way. Some people never change. We're meant to change, everybody. When you get well, you get a new outfit. When you get well, you get out of the hospital bed, you get out of the psychiatric unit, you get out of the broken life, you get out of sin. And there's something about you that changes. I'm watching people who around the world at our different campuses, and I'm watching, "Oh my gosh, I couldn't even recognize that person. I couldn't even, who's that?" And then they're telling me it's so-and-so, and I went, "Oh my gosh, can't even recognize him." Why is that? Because they've said to God, "I want to be well. I want to be healed. I want to get out of poverty. I want to get out of sickness. I want to get out of sin." And God is working in their life and their countenance is so changing, I hardly know them. Yeah. There's one guy who I've been telling the guys, he looks 20 years younger to me since he's really come to God, surrendered to God. I just can't even recognize him because he said to God, "I want to be made well. Lord, I want to be well. God, I want to be well." Everybody, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Then set up somebody who's going to help you get in the pool. But Jesus is saying, "Hey, what do you want?" Jesus is saying, "Do you want to stay in bitterness? Do you want to stay in anger? Do you want to stay in poverty? Do you want to stay in small life? Do you want to stay in sin? Do you want to stay in generational problems?" I said to God at 18, nearly 19, "Heck no, I don't. I'm done. I don't care what everybody else in my family is doing. I am over this. God goes, right, I'm with you. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to keep religion going? Oh my gosh, once religion's got a family, oh, it's like a stranglehold. It's about how we look, not about how we are. It's about the external, how I look. When God's about, how are you? How's your heart? How's your thinking? How's your spirit? So Jesus says to him in verse 8, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and began to walk. Everybody, crucial moment. Crucial moment. Stirring moment. Certain time, certain moment, Jesus is in his space, and immediately Jesus says, action what I've just done. Jesus says, action what I've just done. Jesus says, action what I just did in your body. Action it. He's like, hang on, I've been lying here forever. Jesus says, rise up, get up. Get up. Get up. Take up your futon and walk. Get up. Rise up. Everybody, Jesus is saying to you, get up now. Get up. Get up. Begin to walk. Jesus doesn't say sprint, he says walk. One step at a time, one step at a time. And by the way, he never said take everybody with you who's been there also broken and with issues. He said you walk and go forward now. Everybody, you have to leave some people behind in order to go forward in God. Some people in your life for a season, some people are there accidentally, should never have been in your life. And some people are a problem from possibly the enemy. And some people, they're there and they're in that moment, and then God goes, move on. Yeah. Move forward now. Because part of your healing is also in your social group, who you walk with, who you have to do life with. And so Sue and I were swapping social groups, oh my gosh, incredibly. And in order to move forward, and we had to action it. Everybody action it in Jesus' name. I don't know if anybody saw that movie years ago, Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow. Don't watch it. It's not a Christian movie. It's dodgy. And it's all about how she ends up, in a relationship. And what the producers of the movie did was they had her get on a train to go meet her boyfriend in one scene. And then in the next scene, they took her back that she'd running late by 10 minutes and she missed the train. And her whole life took completely different turns in the movie. Don't watch the movie. but it was such a fascinating concept. It grabbed me quickly as a Christian and as a developing leader at that time when it came out, because I thought, this is so like the Christian life. People are running for a train, and in the movie, she gets on the train and then her whole life takes that direction. In the next scene, she's running and she misses it by 10 minutes and her life takes a totally different direction. Everybody, sometimes in the kingdom, God brings a message to you and you're running late and you forget that you need to get on the train of the kingdom and you need to get into God's destination. Many of us, our lives were going to a problem. We were going to the train yard of problems. I had a friend of mine, he was so drunk one night in Sydney when I was a teenager, we could not wake him up. He went to the train yards for the night in the carriage. We had to leave him. He woke up in the morning in the train yard going like this, right? I think that's a lot of people's lives. They're either so asleep to what's happening, they're missing with the stirrings of life, and they end up somewhere they're not meant to be. Everybody, this is a sliding doors moment for you, and possibly even in a message, this could be a sliding door moment for your grandchildren if you rise up and walk. Even for your grandchildren. Christian, if you rise up and walk, it could be a changing door moment for your grandchildren. Christian, rise up. Action what God is saying. Ecclesiastes 9:1, again I saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor to the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance. Times coming together, chance or opportunities, meeting. Even you being here this morning, can I just say to you, it's a divine setup. This is a divine setup that God has put you here to hear this message, because she's saying to you, I'm coming now. I'm coming right now, or I'm coming again. And I'm stirring you now because I want to see your grandchildren rise up and walk. I want to see your great-grandchildren rise up and walk. I love that comment again. Charles Spurgeon still ringing around with me every week. Discernment is not knowing right from wrong. It's knowing right from almost right. Everybody, don't have a Christian walk that's almost right. Charles Spurgeon nailed it. It's not just knowing right from wrong. It's knowing right from almost right. It looks like a Christian walk. It looks like a Christian life. If it is, there's power. If it is, there's supernatural. If it is, there's great fruit around you. There'll be fruit around your life in Jesus' name. Couple of last thoughts. God is timeless and eternal. God is timeless and eternal. He's actually outside of time. But he sets apart certain times in which he will act. Moses and the burning bush. God will set aside times when he will act. And the Bible then says wildly, seek the Lord while he may be found. What? Seek the Lord while he may be found. I don't think we understand the fullness of that. I just think that the Bible is teaching us, whenever you hear the word of God and hear that you need to be saved, go now. Go now. You say, well, that sounds a bit full on. Yeah, I had three friends when I was under 25 that were killed in accidents. Three. They're not on the planet any longer. They never saw past 25. And I sometimes look back and think of each of them and think, wow, I wonder what they would have done. Wonder what they would have become. They sought the Lord. One of them rededicated his life. Actually, yeah, one of them rededicated his life. So two of them were Christians. But their moment, life is fragile. You are one heartbeat from eternity. Life is fragile. But one of them rededicated his life. It was probably about a month before. And I just think, you know, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 7, again, he appoints, look at this, a certain day. What is that? A certain time. Today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The Bible reminds us again, don't harden your heart. Why? Because we so easily do it. So God's saying, don't harden your heart. Certain day, certain moment, if you hear his voice, don't harden it. Isaiah 55, verse 7, the message, so good. Seek God while he's to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. There's our stumbling block right there. Let them abandon that, their way of life and their evil way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. Oh, how good is that? Everybody, today is your day of God's favor, because God is here. And you can receive God's great mercy and his lavish forgiveness by putting your faith and trust in one place. Here's the one place. It's not on you trying to be good. It's not on you becoming a church member. How you are saved is putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. And that was so that you could be reconciled to him, into relationship, and have eternal life in Jesus' name. His lavish forgiveness is available right now. Come on, his lavish forgiveness is available right now. Could we stand up, church? What I want to do, we might just sing for a moment, and then I'm going to just pray two prayers. But the first prayer is for you to have that opportunity to receive God's great mercy, his lavish, abundant forgiveness for your life, and come into a living relationship with him.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us. And special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus, both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member. And let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.